Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Come from the cities and they come from the smaller towns. That's John Mellencamp bringing us back. 23 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my website's our smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Stephen Blue is our guest. Stephen L. Blue is the name of the book, American Manufacturing 2.0. Stephen is our new friend and president and CEO of Miller Ingenuity. Stephen, thanks again for being here. Tell us about Miller.
Well, Miller Ingenuity is an unusual company in that we have everything from low technology, dumb metal, and plastic products to high-technology neural network-based products. And we generally provide safe solutions to the rail industry so people that work on the tracks and other parts of the railroad don't get killed by the trains that are going by.
Right. Right. And so you got low-tech, high-tech, and all of it is all of it U.S.-based?
Yes, it is. Now, there's certain things, of course, in high technology, when you buy off-the-shelf components, as an example, you know, Lord knows where they're made. Most of them are probably made in Southeast Asia. But then we integrate all of those products. We do all the dumb metal stuff right in Winona, Minnesota. And then we integrate all the high technology stuff and bring it into Winona, Minnesota to value add it and do the final assembly. And then, of course, we do all the marketing.
Do you think that more companies, if they were a little more devoted to Americans, could do what your company does and not hurt their profit?
Absolutely, and in fact, I would suggest that they can actually make more profit if they think more globally. And I don't mean geography wise, but if they think more expansive about how they can out innovate. You have to out innovate the Chinese. You can't outbeat them.
They are not innovative. The thing about the Chinese, they're not entrepreneurial. They're not innovative. They're good at taking your innovations.
That's exactly right.
But they're not good at innovation themselves.
No, but if you try to beat them on the basis of cost, you'll lose every single time. If you try to beat a robot on the basis of cost, you're going to lose every single time.
So
you have to find a way to have innovative products and then value add them here in the United States.
So talk to us about growing our own businesses. Out here, we've got people listening to you right now from all sectors of the marketplace, but pretty much your small business owners. What's your advice to them?
Well, first of all, you have to invest in your workforce. You have to consider your workforce as a renewable resource and not an expendable asset. Yeah. See, what happens, this is great in the airlines, because I just did a piece that went in Fortune magazine last week on the United debacle.
Mm-hmm.
But then the American, you know, the woman, the baby and all that, everyone heard all about that. But here's the basic fundamentally problem with airlines and a lot of businesses. When you look at the airlines and they say, here's what we're doing, we're so great, we're investing in all these assets, we're buying new planes, we're getting new routes and all that kind of stuff. By the time they get down to what they're doing with their people, it's like three pages into the annual report. And it ought to be flipped on its head. When you're thinking about investing in your business, you should invest in your workforce and training them and coaching them and selecting the right kind of people, and the assets will follow. But most CEOs think of hard assets only, and they don't think of the soft assets, which is their workforce. That's the most important thing.
Well, that's exactly right. And of course, sometimes policy has an impact on that, though, doesn't it? I mean, we just had 8 years of an administration that made it awfully hard to employ people.
It really did, but I'll tell you what, my company grew by 40% during the last 8 years.
Good for you.
In spite of that.
Right. And by focusing on what you just said.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
I'll give you a perfect example. We created, I have a very innovative workforce, but that didn't just happen by itself. I invested in that. I brought in a guy who used to be the chief creativity officer for the QVC network, and I hired him to train all my people, every single employee, blue and white collar, on the principles and practices of brainstorming and innovation.
Wow.
And then I spent $500,000 on what we call the Creation Station. I call it a Google-like campus in a factory.
Right
in the middle of my factory is a very high-tech place where our employees come together, pick the problem they want to work on, and then work on it. We don't tell them what to work on. We don't tell them when to work on it. We don't do any of that kind of stuff. And, of course, that took a couple of years to get implemented.
But that took commitment. That took foresight. That took a vision and a goal of doing business in America with the people you have around you, as opposed to taking the easy route and offshoring everything.
That's right. The easy route.
But
is
see, you're a CEO like small business owners are CEOs. Your values, if not your company, are planted in the ground. We're planted in the ground out here on Main Street. We can't take our stuff offshore. Wouldn't it be great if more of American corporate America, not make them plant themselves in the ground, but feel more devoted to our ground?
Yeah, I mean, but see, that's you laid your hands on the problem, Jim. Is most CEOs take the easy way out. Let's just drop the workforce, let's offshore, quick. Guys like you and me and all of your listeners,
we're
in smaller businesses, and so cash is king, right?
Right.
We have to earn payroll every week. When you work for a multinational, you know, Fortune 500 company, it's all funny money.
Right.
For us, it's real money.
A lot of that's true. So you think the key to success in America, growing your business in America with American workers, is a big part of its innovation, isn't it?
Yep, it's all of it.
But first you have to hire people. First you have to hire innovative people, though.
Well, you do, or if you start with a workforce that's not. I'll give you an example.
Quickly.
You know, our environment is perfect. People love our environment. You come to work, you decide what you're going to work. They decide what they're going to build on any given day. They decide what problems they're going to work on and so forth. But some people, when we first did that, Jim, we had asked some people to leave because they didn't want that.
They couldn't make the move. You got to be able to do that. Hey, Stephen, will you come back another day? You got more to teach us.
I'd be happy to.
StephenLBlue.com, is that right?
Yep.
The book is called American Manufacturing 2.0. It's out now. Quick.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.